Shabbos daf Samach Vav. The Mishnah starts off. Reb Meir says that an amputee can go out with a wooden foot on Shabbos. Reb Yossi says they are not allowed to go out with their wooden foot on Shabbos. If it has a receptacle for rags, then it is susceptible to tumah. The leather supports of a double amputee can become tummy medris, and tummy medris is basically if you have a zav or a zava, and they put their weight on something which is meant to support the weight of a human being, then that thing becomes tummy medris. And so the leather supports are made to hold this double amputee and to put there to support him, so they can become tamei medris, and you're allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, and you could go into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, because you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash with shoes, but we see that they are not considered shoes. The chair and leg supports of someone whose legs have atrophied, those can become tamei medris, but here you're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, and you cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash with them, because here they would be considered shoes. And the Mishnah finishes off by saying that Lokitmin cannot become Tamei, and you can go out with them on Shabbos. The Gemara starts off. Rava asks Rav Nachman, how is the Mishnah taught? Meaning, who says what between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi? Who says that the wooden foot is allowed, and who says it's not allowed? Rav Nachman says, I'm not sure. And Rava says, okay, well, what's the halacha? Are we allowed to go out? Are we not? And Rav Nachman says, I'm not sure. So Shmuel teaches the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi that Rav Meir says that you cannot go out with a wooden foot on Shabbos. Rav Yossi says you can. This is the opposite of our Mishnah. And Rav Huna says the same thing as Shmuel, though, that Rav Meir says you cannot go out with the wooden foot, and Rav Yossi says you can go out with them. Rav Yosef says, since Shmuel and Rav Huna both teach like this, then this must be the correct machlokas in the Mishnah. However, Rava Bar Shira says no. Rav Chanan Bar Rava taught Chia Bar Rav that Rav Meir says you're not allowed to go out, and Rav Yossi says you are allowed. But Rav was there, and he said no. Reverse the opinions to reflect exactly like our Mishnah said. Rav Nachman Yitzchak brings us a mnemonic for this, so we actually see that Shmuel retracted his opinion. And so that there's a mission that says if a woman did chalitza, so chalitza is basically if a woman's husband dies and they didn't have kids, then there's a mitzvah of yibum for the deceased husband's brother to marry this woman. And if he refuses, if he doesn't want to, then they do the process of chalitza, which is done with a shoe. So the Mishnah says if a woman did chalitza with a sandal that didn't belong to this guy, the brother, or with a wood sandal or the left shoe from the right foot, then in all those cases it's going to be a good chalitza. And Shmuel says this is the opinion of Rav Meir, because he holds that an amputee can go out with a wood foot, which we see that the wood shoe is considered a shoe, and that's why in our Mishnah it allows the wood sandal, and Rav Yossi is the one that says it's not allowed. So this reflects our Mishnah exactly. Rav Huna also retracts his opinion, because we have a brace that says a plaster seller's straw sandal, which is basically just used to cover their shoe to protect them from getting burnt, that can become tamei medris, and you can use it for chalitza, and you could go out with it on Shabbos. This is all according to Rabbi Akiva. However, the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Akiva on this point. However, we have another Mishnah that says that the Chachamim completely agree with Rabbi Akiva. So does that make sense? Rav Huna therefore says that Rav Meir is the one that agrees with Rabbi Akiva, because he holds that a shoe which is made of wood and other uncommon materials is still considered a shoe, because we see that the straw sandal is still considered a shoe. And Rabbi Yossi is the one that disagrees, because he holds that the shoe made of wood and other uncommon materials is not going to be a shoe. Rav Yosef says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is also one of the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Akiva, because we have a Mishnah that says if you have a straw mat or a tube, Rabbi Akiva says it can become Tameh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says it cannot become Tameh, because he holds that straw cannot become Tameh, which is why he says the straw sandal cannot become Tameh. Now we have a problem. Rabbi Akiva said in our Braisa that the plaster seller's sandal can become Tameh Medras. However, this is not made for walking. It's not made, you know, as a shoe for walking on. It's just there to protect your shoe from getting, to protect your foot from getting burnt. So that's our Rav Acha bar Rav Ula says no, because sometimes after work the person is just going to leave it on and walk home with them, so the shoes are supporting his weight for walking in a normal way. So the Mishnah said that if the wooden leg has room for rags, it can become tamei. Abai says it can become tamei mace from a corpse, but not tamei medras, because it's not ever supporting his weight. However, Rava says no, it can become both tamei mace and tamei medras, because sometimes this wooden leg does support his weight. And we have a Mishnah that supports Rava, that Rava's opinion is learned from this Mishnah. Rava learns his opinion from this Mishnah that a child's wagon can become tamei medras, and Rava's going to say this is only used sometimes to support the child's weight, and we see that it could still become tamei. However, Abai is going to say back, no, the wagon is used to support the child's weight often. However, the wooden leg, that's never used to support the person's weight. And Abaye's opinion comes from this brisa that the walking stick of an elderly person cannot become tamei in any way. Now, the person, the elderly person, occasionally puts his full weight on this walking stick, but since that's not the main purpose, just like the wooden shoe is not made to be for you to put your full weight on it, then it's not going to become tamei. However, Rava would challenge this because he would say the walking stick is, you're never putting your full weight on that. That's just for an old person to be able to strain their steps. However, the wooden leg, sometimes you are going to use that to put your full weight on it, and therefore it can become tamei. The Mishnah had said that the chair and leg supports for someone whose legs have atrophied, they can become tamei medras. You're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, and you can't go into the base of Mikdash with them because it is considered a shoe. So someone taught this braisa before to Rabbi Yochanan that says that you can enter the base of Mikdash with these leg supports because we see that they're not considered a shoe. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I have a braisa that says that a woman can do chalitza with the leg support. So we see it is a shoe. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, rather you should teach that braisa that you cannot go into the base of Mikdash with these leg supports. The Mishnah said that lokitmin cannot become tameh and you could go out with them on Shabbos. So what are the lokitmin? Rabbi Abahu says it's a wooden donkey which is carried on a clown's shoulders. Rava Bar Papa says they're stilts, and Rava Bar Rav Huna says that they are masks. The next Mishnah says that young boys can go out with knots and princes can go out with golden bells. However, the Mishnah says that this is really true for anyone. We're just talking about the normal thing, that the normally the princes are the ones that go out with the golden bells, but it applies to everyone. The Gemara asks, what are these knots? Rav Yehuda says they are knots of the madder plant, which are used for their curative properties. Abai says that his mother said that 3 knots are used to contain the illness, 5 are used to cure it, and 7 can even ward off witchcraft. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that the madder plants are only effective if they were not exposed to sunlight or moonlight, to rain, to the sound of metal clanking, to the sound of a rooster crowing, or to the sound of footsteps. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak says if that's true, then that's basically impossible. That you can't ever have that. But now the Gemara is going to ask, if we're talking about the madder plant, that's the knots we're talking about, why is this only by young boys? Then even girls and adults should be allowed to go out with them. So that's why Rav Chama Bar Guria is going to say, Avin Bar Rav Huna is going to say in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria that when a father leaves his son and his son's going to be sad that his father is going off, the father ties the strap from his right shoe onto the son's left arm, and that's going to prevent the boy, it's going to alleviate his sadness. Rav Nachman Yitzchak teaches that it's just like tefillin, where you use your right hand to tie the tefillin onto your left arm, and that's important to know because if you do the opposite, you tie your left shoe strap onto the right arm, then the boy is going to be even more sad. Avin Bar Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria that you could turn over a hot cup on a stomach because that was used as a cure for stomach pains, and this was not a problem of doing practicing cures and things like that on Shabbos. Avin Bar Huna also says in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria that you could smear a mixture of oil and salt onto the palms of the hands and the soles of the feet on Shabbos, which were used to sober someone up, because when Rav Huna came from his teacher Rav's house, and Rav came from his teacher Reb Chia's house, and Reb Chia came from his teacher Rebbe's house, if they were drunk, their teachers would smear a mix of oil and salt on their palms of their hands and the soles of their feet, and they would say, just like the oil is thinning out from the warmth of the person's body, so too the wine of so-and-so, the son of this woman so-and-so, should become thin and they should not be drunk anymore. If they don't have any salt or oil available, then they would bring the clay seal of a barrel and soak it in water and say, just as the clay is thinning from the water, so too the wine of this person, the son of so-and-so, should be thinned out. Avin Bar Huna says in the name of Abchama Bar Guria that you can perform strangling therapy on Shabbos. Again, this was some type of therapy to fix the neck. Avin Bar Huna says in the name of Abchama Bar Guria that you can wrap an infant on Shabbos to strain its bones. Or if Papa taught that there were 2 teachings about children in the name that Avin Bar Huna said, one about the knots and one about wrapping the infants, but Rav Zvid taught that only the knots were in the name of Avin Bar Huna, but the one about wrapping the infants was in the name of Rav Bar Bar Chana, who says that you can wrap an infant on Shabbos. Abai says, my mother told me that all incantations should be said with the name of the sufferer's mother, meaning you should say so-and-so, the son of this woman so-and-so, and all knots should be tied on the left arm. Abai says, my mother told me that any incantation which has a specified number of repetitions, that's the amount of times you should repeat it. However, if there's no specified amount of repetitions, then you should automatically just repeat it 41 times. We have a bracelet that says that women can go out with a preserving stone, which was this stone which was kind of meant to prevent a miscarriage. Rav Meir says even with the counterweight of this preserving stone, meaning it's a stone which weighs the exact same as the anything which weighs the same as the preserving stone, and you're even allowed to do it even if she hasn't previously miscarried, you're just worried she might miscarry, and even if you're not even sure if she's pregnant, you could still go out with it on Shabbos because you're worried that she might be pregnant. Yemar Bar Shalmia says in the name of Abaye, the counterweight though has to be the exact same equal weight as the preserving stone, and Abaye asks, if you have the counterweight of a counterweight, meaning something which is the same weight as the counterweight, which is the same weight as the preserving stone, can you go out with that on Shabbos? The Gemara says, Teku, let that question stand. Abai says that his mother said that for a fever that strikes daily, you should take 1 white zuz, which is a coin, and you should take it to a salt evaporator, and you should basically weigh out this amount of salt that the coin weighs, and you should take that salt and you should tie it by the neck opening of your shirt with a strand of hair. However, if you don't have those things available, you should look for a large ant which is carrying something. You should put the ant in a copper tube, and you should close the tube with lead and 60 different seals. Then you should shake the tube and carry it and say to the ant, your burden on me and my burden on you, meaning you should have my fever. However, Rav Acha Barei, Rav Huna asks, Vashi, maybe someone already used this ant and said, and they put their illness on this ant, and now you're taking that ant's illness, which is just carrying the illness of someone else. So that's why Rav Ashi says you should say both my burden and your burden should be on you. However, if none of these things are available, then you should take a small new earthenware vessel and go to a river and say to the river, lend me your water to heal my illness, and you should fill the vessel and circle it 7 times around your head, and then you should toss the water back into the river and say, take back your water and my illness. Shkayach.